This is WMUK's Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence. Happy Friday. The Chicago Symphony Orchestra is coming up at 11 o'clock, and we're going to start this hour with a preview of the Kalamazoo Singers Concert, which is coming up on Saturday, December 14th, a week from tomorrow, at 5 o'clock in First Presbyterian Church in downtown Kalamazoo. Rick Phelps is the director, and he's here to talk to me about this concert. It's called A Merry Mosaic, and I'm feeling pretty merry to have you here in the studio.
And I've got dressed, you know, kind of colorful clothing here, a Merry Mosaic shirt, kind of. Yeah, Kara, it's great to be here, as always. As I was driving down thinking about what to talk about for this, it struck me that I'm always excited to come talk to you about my concerts. And I think that's pretty cool that everything we do, it's so different and interesting and fun, and I get really excited about every single concert. And I know you've told me that before in our sort of off the air chattering, but it's true. I really love this music and this ensemble and things we do, and here we are, Christmas season already, with this Merry Mosaic.
Well, you finished last season with a tribute to Canada and Canadian composers and
that's right. And
songs.
We found out that you are lived in Canada for a while. That was thrilling. And I've actually been to the town where you were, which is in the middle of nowhere, British Columbia. Well, that's pretty cool.
Dawson Creek.
That's right. Amazing. Started the Alcan Highway.
Well, that was last April, I think. And now, as you said,
right.
Here we are in
Christmas.
December.
It's amazing. Time just, it really does fly. And it's hard to keep up.
Well, let's talk about A Merry Mosaic. And once again, I'll tell listeners it's at 5 o'clock on Saturday, December 14th at First Presbyterian Church. Well into the holiday season, people have lots going on. So if your calendar is next to you or in front of you on a screen, now's the time to make a note of
That's right.
these things.
That's right. And this is going to be a really enjoyable concert. From the name, it implies a great variety, and that's exactly what we have. I remember when I was in Berlin as a college student, and happened to go to this bombed out cathedral in Berlin, there's a brand new part of it, which the Berliners affectionately call like the compact or powder puff box and lipstick tube stand. There's like a bell tower. It looks like it's blue stained glass, and it's very modern looking. But right next to it is what's left of the ruin. I don't know, remember which part of the church is, but when you stand in there and look up, there's this unbelievable mosaic. And I'm sure most of your listeners know that a mosaic is a picture made up of tiny little tiles. And up close, all you see is the tiles, but when they're far enough away, you see the whole picture. And this concert is sort of like that. You could say that it's creating a very loose picture of Advent, the whole Christmas, the whole winter season. In fact, our first piece, you know, has nothing to do at all with Christmas. It's called Locus Iste, which is a famous piece by Anton Bruckner. Very brief, very, very beautiful, incredibly powerful. And all it says is, this is a beautiful, holy space, a sacred space, which could hardly be a better, more fitting description of the inside of First Press. I mean, it's such a beautiful sanctuary, a magnificent place to sing, tremendous acoustics. The visuals are stunning in there. And so we'll start out with just sort of setting the stage with this beautiful piece. This place, the text is Locus Iste, Ideo Factus Est. This place was made by God. It is of priceless worth. That's the feeling that you get when you stand inside that building.
Thank you.
Just a lovely piece by Anton Bruckner, starting off the Kalamazoo Singers' Merry Mosaic Concert on Saturday, December 14th at First Presbyterian Church, beginning at 5 o'clock. And Rick, where do you go from there?
So like I said, it's a very loose portrayal of Advent. So we will sing some of the famous Alfred Burt carols. We have a set that we're doing three, I think, from a set of five, and we've chosen three out of it. We're singing a traditional French carol in English, though. You may know Ilene, bum 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 ba da dum bum bum. We're singing that in English. Now is born the Divine Christ Child. We're singing this wonderful English carol, Fum Fum Fum. Right, everybody knows and loves that. We're going to sing that with a brass ensemble.
The and color there,
yeah. I mean, some variety. It's actually written for piano forehand, and our pianist has arranged it for brass ensemble. So kudos to John Griffin, Dr. John Griffin, for his skill as a composer and arranger to put this into the brass ensemble's hands. And so it'll be a really neat experience to, it may never have been done like this before. This may be the only time in history.
Well, hang on to it.
We will.
The Kalamazoo Singers has a big library.
That's right.
Of pieces. So you can always keep going back. And I assume you did, you know, dive into the library for a number of these pieces today?
Sure.
For this concert?
Yeah. Most of the stuff actually is from our library. We have added a few pieces, but most of it we have. And that says another thing about, you know, an ensemble like the K-Singers that have been around a while. We do have an established library. We have an established repertoire. We don't sing the same concert every year. We're not that, and I'm not criticizing, but we're not that choir that sings the Messiah every year. Or big pieces of it or whatever. But we do come back to pieces that are of great value, great worth. They are artistically and performance-wise meaningful to the singers and very satisfying for the audience members. So our singers are built up and edified by the music we sing, and the audience sits there and enjoys and experiences something that they can relate to, that they can enjoy. And actually, they'll get to participate in this performance as well, because as we sometimes do in our Christmas concerts, we'll have some carols for them to sing along with.
That's great. I think every Christmas concert or holiday concert should have a portion where the audience gets to chime in and sing their hearts out.
Point taken.
I always ask this, but I'd like people to be able to picture the concert in their mind. And so just how large is the ensemble this year?
Right now we're about 30 singers and singing in the beautiful space of First Press, which holds a lot of people. We will, even though I guess we would say we're a little smaller than we have been in recent years. We've been as large as, say, 45 or so. I think when I started, it was about this size. It was about 30 singers. And, you know, it moves up and down as people come in and out of the community. I think what people are always astonished by is when you have a well-trained ensemble, just how softly they can sing, and that same ensemble, how much volume they can produce, even from a small choir. So that's always very riveting and exciting for me as the conductor, for the singers, of course, and for the audience.
We've also talked recently, within the last year, about your feelings of positivity and hope for the choral world in general in Michigan. You're seeing a lot of well-trained singers come up in high schools and college groups.
Yeah, I judge all over the state. It's a great privilege to be an MSVMA adjudicator, and I get a lot of gigs, I guess, across the state judging from small districts, rural districts, solo ensembles to large city or county organizations. I mean, like Oakland County, you know, you would expect has a whole bunch of tremendous ensembles. Lansing area has some great choirs. Southwest Michigan has unbelievable choirs. it's very exciting to hear high school, middle school, junior high singers singing tremendous literature at the highest level imaginable. I can still point my finger to a few ensembles that just really stick in my memory. I judged Inner City Detroit's, both their choral festival a couple years ago, and then last year, solo and ensemble. And there were three amazing ensembles that sang there. Detroit Renaissance High School was one. They're just breathtakingly brilliant. Just amazing. You just sit there at the judges' table in awe, you know, and writing great things on their score sheet, and just talking about all those things that I mentioned, the great literature and the tremendous sound and the intensity and the passion with which they sing. And then I remember probably the best ensemble I've heard in, I don't know, 6 years was a seventh grade girls choir from a little Christian school in Muskegon. I don't even remember the name of the school. They floored me by singing college level literature, vocally appropriate. They didn't try to sound like they were 20 years old. And I, you know, I left that festival just in awe of Michigan, teachers, of Michigan singers, kids. The music education that's going on is unbelievable.
And that bodes well for the Kalamazoo Singers, too, because these young musicians will become adults and very likely not become professional musicians, but the foundation in music and singing can be put to great use in an ensemble like the Kalamazoo Singers.
Right. You probably know this. Maybe you don't, but you probably do. But singing in a choral ensemble is the number one participatory art form in the United States of America. More people sing week to week in a choir than any other kind of art. They sing in church choirs, they sing in community choirs, they sing in colleges and universities, they sing in schools, they sing everywhere. And it just shows, I mean, this is our instrument. This is what we're born with. Every person has a voice. And every person can make use of that voice.
I'm with Rick Phelps, the director of the Kalamazoo Singers, and their holiday concert, A Merry Mosaic, is coming up on Saturday, December 14th at 5 o'clock at First Presbyterian Church in downtown Kalamazoo. Let's get back to this mosaic. And if I could, I can read a little bit upside down and on the countertop over there.
I have my music all spread out.
I see the name.
People in audience land, she can see all the titles
all
here.
All the scores.
Right.
Arvo Pärt is one I want to talk about.
Yeah. So I've wanted to do this Pärt piece, the Magnificat, for a long time. Programmed it, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago. So early on in my tenure with the K-Singers. And this year we're doing it. The piece is just stunning. I didn't even know how to begin to describe it other than just to say that it is stunningly beautiful, ethereal, mystical. It's the text of the Magnificat, which, if you know, is when Mary receives the news that she's going to be the mother of the Savior, that she just exults. The song pours out of her. And it's been set thousands and thousands of times.
There's a million
Magnificats
out there.
Has a tremendous setting. Pergolesi has a brilliant setting. And on and on, you know, we could go listing off composers. But Pärt, with this piece, written in 1989, kind of changed his style and discovered something that the choral world was looking for. And with this one piece, kind of reset. In the research I've done, it's sort of like he reset his own ear. I might not be saying this exactly right, but he was onto something. He captured something kind of Slavonic, kind of pre-Palestrina Renaissance. There's this big, long... The song is not complicated. It's hard to do because of its duration and fatigue and pacing and all that. But he creates a mood, a scene, a feel that it's just astonishing. You have to I would encourage the audience members to go listen to it and then come, you know, ready to have sort of that wow factor happen to them.
Arvo Pärt's music, he has said, is based on both silence and ringing sounds. Like, if you hear a bell struck and you just sit and listen to that tone, it's not a single tone.
No.
There are harmonic tones within that that you can maybe get a little obsessed by. I don't know if he's turned the corner, left behind a lot of the serial new forms of music that were prevalent when he was studying, and just listening to breathing and bell tones and silence, and suddenly, yeah, he invented something that was much needed, maybe.
Right. I think he calls it tintinnabulation. I think that's his term. And, you know, you look at the harmonic structure, the chord structure, It doesn't vary much. He does use a little bit of a non-traditional scale, so you'll hear some things that you might think sound middle European. You might hear some qualities in there that just sort of grab your ear and say, "Oh, that doesn't sound traditional classical Western," right? It just, there are some things that are just really sort of surprising there. But overall, you know, the whole thing is just an F minor, right? It's just a very, very simple, and it's usually F, A flat, C. He doesn't even play with the inversions of the chords. It's just kind of straightforward. Here we are. But somehow every iteration of it is a little different, and it's not just because the word is different, the text is different. He finds ways of making it sound different by the length of the phrases, or the dynamic contrast, or going from full voice to just what sounds to the audience like just two people singing, even though it's the choir, but it just reduces to nothingness, and then it explodes in this ginormous full-voiced fortissimo, right? So you get all this contrast in the space of 7 minutes through what, like a composition teacher would say, well, that's really simple, and yet astonishingly beautiful.
How is he doing that?
Right, yeah. Yeah, how does he get away with so much contrast with such minimal material? It's remarkable.
Arvo Pärt grew up in Estonia under Soviet rule, and as far as I know, lives in Berlin now, where maybe he catches a glimpse of that
of the mosaic. Maybe I bet he's been there.
Well, give us one more piece to talk about before we go.
Well, let's talk about two really quickly. We're doing a repeat of a friend of mine, Jerry Custer, who's a composition teacher at Wayne State, theory teacher, good friend, and very prolific composer. Like Alfred Burt, he has been writing a carol for Christmas every year. Unfortunately, Alfred Burt died as a very young man, like Mozart, in his 30s. And so wrote maybe 20 or something like that. Jerry Custer has easily doubled that number. He's been writing a carol for Christmas every year since, I think he told me, 15 years old or something. And so he's got like 45, 50, I don't know. It's amazing. We've done this piece a few times. It's called Away in a Manger. Everybody knows the text, of course. The tune is his own, the harmonization, everything. And it's just so simple and so beautiful. It just...
What was his name again? You said Custer?
Jerry Custer.
Jerry Custer.
Gerald Custer. Oh. Yep. Yep. Lovely composer, lovely man. This is a beautiful, beautiful piece. Utterly simple and heartwarming. You know, it's the kind of thing you can just feel a mother's embrace in the song, right? It's just so tender and sweet and gentle. Beautiful setting. And then to finish up, kind of to put a bookend, or let's say, to use a Christmas metaphor, to tie it up in a bow, we're doing this piece called Evening in December, which just, it's a lovely piece, very simple in melody and harmony, and simple in its warm-hearted embrace of just taking care of people, you know. See if I can find in the text what really stands out to me. It says, this is the last phrase of the song, "Keep your candle burning, a beacon in the night, so all who need compassion may warm up in its light on this evening in December." And that puts a nice little bow on the concert, telling us to embrace those we love, take care of those around us, take care of the people you don't know that are around you and need your help, attention, love, and care, and generosity.
Well, it's these messages that we are allowed the time to meditate on during seasonal concerts, and I think that's a really valuable thing every single year. So, Rick, as always, thank you for coming, and thank you for talking to me about this music that I can tell you're very excited about, and I think the Kalamazoo Singers must both love the challenge of singing it, but the opportunity to share the message and share with their own friends and family in the audience.
That's right. Thank you as always, Kara. It's great to be here. The last thing you just said, though, reminds me of something we're doing that we started last year. We sang for the Kalamazoo Gospel Mission on invitation of one of their leaders who was part of the choir last year. And one of the goals of the singers is to take our music beyond our traditional walls, right? So on Monday the 9th, we will be singing again for the Kalamazoo Gospel Mission. And we'll sing quite a bit of our rep. We had a great time with them last year, and they were incredibly appreciative. And it'll be a joy, a privilege, and a great blessing, I think, to our singers and to them, for us to be again together at this time, making music and sharing this gift that we have.